To those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of Christ has freed me from the law of sin and of death. I'm free. Mike, if you'll bring this flag. This is the one that is more under assault right now than ever has been. Hundreds of thousands of men and women have given their life for this flag. Oh, beautiful for patriots' dreams. They could see something, and men and women were willing to die and still are. People will die wearing this flag on their arms today. Women will die in the service of their country, whose emblem this is. I want to, if I can, thank you guys for a moment this morning. Not for an awful long time, but I want us to compare and contrast. I want us to look at something. How the similarities of this nation have tracked the similarity or the freedom in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It happened because the men who authored the documents that founded this nation, for the most part, were Christian. Schools today are doing all that they can do to make that go away. I heard a young man say the other day, 12 years old, and last Columbus Day, in October of last year, the teachers, instead of having, I remember Columbus Day, we used to make the little sailor hats and draw the pictures of the Nina, and the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. We used to make the pictures. They were taught that he was a white man that came from Europe who was a slave owner, sexist, racist individual that should have no holiday at all for what he did to the indigenous people of this United States. You thought you knew a little bit about Thomas Jefferson, the man who penned the Declaration of Independence. There's only one thing that the world wants to say about Thomas Jefferson. Now you'll hear it again and again and again. He was a slave owner. He had children by one of his slaves. That's all they want to tell you. Now, he wasn't a Christian like we see Christianity. He was more of a deist. But he believed in a God that was a creator God. And it was penned in the Declaration of Independence. That all men are created equal. And there were certain inalienable rights that they all had. Life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Remember, he didn't say happiness. The pursuit of happiness. July 2nd, 1776, we declared our freedom from England. We celebrate Independence Day on the 4th because the final rendition of the Declaration of Independence was written on the 4th of July and the men signed. Men who are willing to give everything. Men who are willing to sacrifice it all. Men who are willing to lay their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on this idea of the United States. I want to read just a couple of quotes, if I can. And I want you to think about it in terms of what we hear today. And the things that are going on today. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Patrick Henry spoke those words. The red-headed firebrand of Congressional Conference. This morning, I was looking for a quote from George Washington. And I had the opportunity to read his farewell address as he left his office. And there was a time when I had to grab the Kleenex box because tears were running out of my eyes. How this man spoke. And the beauty of what he said about this great nation. I would ask you to, challenge you to, in the next couple of days, just get online and go, just type in Washington's farewell address and read it. It's not going to take you long. But never has anything so demonstrated to me how far we are getting. In fact, if it's dependent on government, we have gone over the edge. There is no getting. I can't tell you how to vote from this pulpit, but I can tell you that if you read your Bible and you believe what it says in the Word of God, it will tell you who you should vote for. We are at the cusp, we are at the edge of a presidency able to appoint maybe three Supreme Court justices, which will run the lawmaking ability of this country. Not the Congress like it was supposed to be, but the Supreme Court can. George Washington says, and you can read it for yourself, talking about the law of the land, the Constitution. He said, in essence, if any would change this Constitution, let them do it by the means dictated in that Constitution. The making of an amendment. The writing of an amendment. The two-thirds majority in the Senate and the House. Then the two-thirds majority of the states that have to ratify that amendment. It has been done. It's been done up to 20-some times now. But he said, if anyone usurps the authority of the Constitution to make changes in it, this is the open door to failure of this great nation. He saw it coming. If we don't like what the law says, we'll just write a new one. And when you challenge it, we'll take it to the Supreme Court. And if we get three more liberal judges in that Supreme Court, it will become the law of the land. I will tell you this. If it happens like I'm afraid it's going to happen, it will take multiple generations for this nation to ever turn around. George Washington, the first president of this United States, said, do not let anyone claim tribute of American patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics. We have no government armed with a power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. These men, in their wisdom, and sometimes I believe as I read these documents, read the Constitution, read the Declaration of Independence, read some of the Federalist Papers. See where these guys were coming from, where they were coming. And you will find that in their way, they were reaching out and they were getting both sides and bringing them together into a nation where all men could be free. Now, we had problems, I'll tell you what. Yes, we did. We had problems. We didn't get it right. Less than 80 years from the time they celebrated, we celebrated that first Independence Day. There was shooting going on again as North versus South. Remember the people that stood up in the anti-slavery movement. The voices that were the loudest were Christians. William Wilberforce. If you've never watched the movie Amazing Grace, watch it. And the man who wrote Amazing Grace, a slaver, until God got a hold of his heart, he spent the rest of his life against the very job that he had. This is higher than this. This overcomes all of this. If we would grab hold of this as a nation, we could overcome the problems that we see in this nation. Religion will never do it. But a vital relationship with Jesus Christ will do it. What did these men do? 4th of July, 1776. They penned their names to a document, pledging their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. What is it that we remember about it? Very, very little. Judge Jeanine. Has anybody heard of Judge Jeanine? According to some of our college graduates, she's sitting on the Supreme Court today. She's a commentator for Fox News. But people out there think she's sitting on the Supreme Court. There is no knowledge of this government. Majority of people cannot tell you how we get a law. They can't tell you how long a senator is in office. Can't tell you how often we elect representatives. Who the senators and what the representatives. Why? Because we're, as a nation, we're being dumbed down from our own history. And when you get, when I get a little beside myself. I get a little insane because I've seen body bags land when people have given their lives for what this nation stands for. I remember a video on television of Iraqi people walking around with purple thumbs. Does anybody remember that? For the first time in history, they were able to vote. And it was because of American servicemen and servicewomen who laid down their lives for the freedom of that country. And we give it away. And all those guys that died in Fallujah and all those guys that died in Mosul, all those guys that died in Erbil and... What does it mean? Because now we have a nation. It says we don't need to be over there. And the only reason we're not over there, let me get really political here. The only reason we're not over there is because our president made a promise when he was running for office. It was a political, you elect me and I'll pull our troops out. Not for the good of anything. No status of forces agreement. No way to leave American forces there as we did in Europe and as we've done in other places to keep the peace. I'll get over that on that one. God help us. They made a very, very bold declaration. They were saying that no longer would England be their masters. In fact, it was kind of interesting. For 14 months after the Battle of Lexington Concord, where we get our term Minutemen, who happened to be militia guys who carried guns to protect their families and their cities, the same thing the government is trying to do today, take that right away from people. Because we don't need militias anymore. I tell you, I need something in my house to protect my wife, my dogs. Because when 3 seconds count, the police are 2 minutes away. Police officer told me last year, he stopped me because I had brake lights out, and he told me, and I showed him gave him my wallet and stuff, because I told him, I said, I have a gun. And I wanted to tell him before he walked up and then sees a gun laying there in the seat and gets all crazy. And I showed him my concealed carry permit. And he told me when he left, he says, thank you for taking responsibility for yourself, because I can't help you. People who were armed to protect their families and their communities. Well, that could never happen in this nation. Hang on, you ain't seen nothing yet. Thomas Jefferson, the great boy, and I'm getting out something here. Any of you work for the Mountain Mail? Anybody? Okay. I don't care. I don't care if you are or not. You want to tell? Thomas Jefferson, I think it was, that said, it takes the blood of patriots to keep the garden of freedom alive. The garden's dying, folks. The garden's dying. They made a declaration. You got to have a history lesson. 14 months they're fighting. After Concord and Lexington, Patrick Henry stands up in the State House in Virginia, and he listen to this man. I want to be like Jesus, you know? But if there's a human being I want to be like Patrick Henry. 3 million people armed in the holy cause of liberty, and in such a country as that which we possess, are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destiny of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battle for us. Battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat except in submission and slavery. Our chains have been forged. Our chains are being forged right now. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat it, sir, let it come. It is vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is that the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know what course. I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And I don't know what's going to happen in this greatest of all nations. I don't know where it's going. But I will say for myself, I want liberty. No matter what it takes to have it. Oh, they made a declaration, all right. And now came the price to pay, and they pay. Battle of Bunker Hill actually breeds hill. Over 1,000 British died and were wounded, 400 Americans. And I just think, Alvin's sitting here, one of the heroes of the Battle of Breed's Hill or Bunker Hill was a black man. he was claimed to be the hero of that battle. Through that terrible war where we won our freedom, that terrible war that is declared against the most powerful empire on the earth, had the largest standing navy and one of the best trained armies in the world, a little nation with no army, and the only boats they really knew probably were canoes. We declare our freedom from these people. And it cost. They had to win it by force, you see. One third of the people didn't want to have any part of anything. They just want to, we'll see how it goes. And then they didn't want to have anything to do with it. One third of people wanted to remain loyal to Britain, the Tories. They wanted to stay with Britain. One third were willing to stand up for their rights as Americans. Boy, does that sound familiar? A third of a nation that does not want this nation as it is anymore. A third of them that just don't care. But there is a part. There is a block that will give their lives to see this nation great once again. And so they went to war against the strongest nation on the earth. 7,200 people, men, women were killed in that battle, the Revolutionary War. 8,200 were wounded. 10,000 died from environmental exposure and disease. 3,000 just at the Valley Forge. Remember the picture of George Washington on his knees by his horse praying to God for some miracle for the supplies of his soldiers. $6,500 of them died in prisons, British prisons. And 1,400 are still missing. The guys, the 56 men that wrote the Declaration, they pledged their allegiance to a new United States of America. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost sons within the battle. Another 2 sons were captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds of hardship of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, who was a wealthy homeowner and trader, saw his ship sunk by the British Navy and he died in gross poverty, because he sold his home and everything he had to pay off his debts. Because we are to owe no man anything. Look at your Bible. Look at the back of your Bible. Does any Bible in here say Thomas Nelson on it? Anybody got a Bible in here that says Thomas Nelson? He's a Revolutionary War hero. In the Battle of Yorktown, which was the final battle of the Revolutionary War, General Cornwallis had people almost cornered and ready to surrender. He took Thomas Nelson's home. Thomas Nelson got a message to George Washington, and he says, "They're here. You have my permission. Turn your cannons on my home." It was totally and utterly destroyed. And again, he died in absolute poverty. 13 of his children fled for their lives. He took off, lived for a year in forests and in caves. When he finally got to come home, his wife was dead and his children, they couldn't find him. But it was worth it, because when they paid the price, they got liberty. They got freedom. 1783. This is like, I'm thinking, let's have a quiz right after this. 1783, they had the Treaty of Paris that ended the war. And because those men from those 13 colonies, that little strip of land, were suddenly given land that went all the way to the Mississippi. And they had a half a nation because they were willing to pay the price. They reaped rewards. Freedom, liberty, a land that was theirs. How about us? How about you and I? Do you remember the day, the hour, that you knelt somewhere and you made a declaration like, Jesus, be Savior of my soul. Jesus, be Lord of my life. Bold declarations. Because suddenly when you make that declaration, your face goes up on the hell's most wanted list. When you make that, it's going to cost you something. It's real easy to make that declaration in church. Hallelujah! Amen! Count me in! I'll die! Yes, I will! Peter was standing there looking at Jesus and made the same statement. Don't worry, Lord. I'll go to prison with you. I'll even die with you. Jesus said, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. You see, when you get out to the outside, when you get out to the world, when you get out where you have to live it, things become more difficult. Why? When you said, I believe in Jesus, you have declared war on the one of the strongest empires that's ever been on this earth. That's the empire of He who has been given the right to this earth. Powers and principalities, kingdoms of darkness, rulers in high places, Paul called them. There is a war. Some of you realize that. Some of you can say this week, I know what war is all about. Paul says, Timothy, he says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, no man who is a soldier, no man who is an officer in the army of God, entangleth himself with the affairs of this world. We stay focused on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When we do that, there is no enemy out there that's stronger than what this one that we watch him. And he does what he does for his people. There is no enemy that can stand against him. That at the name of Jesus. We studied in Sunday school this morning. We studied what happens when people bring the name of Jesus to bear on wickedness and sickness and evil. It changes people. I was telling Ray, I think one of the reasons why we don't walk in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't walk in kingdom living, is because we haven't tried it yet. We're all saying, yeah, it's there. But we've not walked in that kingdom living. We've not walked like Jesus. But Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. We haven't seen it because we haven't done it yet. God help us. There are people in this world that are walking the walk. They've paid with homes and families. They told them, out of here, don't take anything. Leave your cars, leave your trucks, leave your homes. You take what you have on and you go. And they went. Why? Because I'm not giving up anything. I'm not giving up anything. I'm not taking anything in the place of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. That's the declaration that you have made, and that is the price you will pay. Jesus said it. No man, unless he picks up his cross and follows after me, worthy of me. Any man who loves father or mother or children or homes or lands more than me, he is not worthy of me. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. And some of you have paid the price. Some of you have paid the price with family. They don't want to be around you anymore. Friends that don't want to hang out with you anymore. You've become a Jesus freak. I don't know what they call them now. That's what they used to call them. Jesus freaks. And I don't want to hang with you anymore. My best friend, he was a good friend of mine. He's one of the original Iranian hostages. Don Holman. He and I went through PA school together. And we were really good friends. And we endeared our friendship nearly every day with a bottle of this or a case of that. Went to Florida to a medical meeting. I was in my room one night. And I'd met this guy called Jesus. I'd rededicated my life to this guy called Jesus. Knock on the door, and I opened the door, and I couldn't even see Don's face. All I could see was three cases of Budweiser and a bottle of Bushmills whiskey. And he came in, and he sat down, and we hugged and slapped each other's backs. He reached over, he popped a beer, he handed it to me, and I said, "Don," I says, "I don't drink anymore." And he could, it looked like somebody hit him in the face with something really vile. And I tried to share Jesus Christ with him. He sat there, he listened. But he walked out, and when he walked out, there was something that went with him. And I've really not heard from him since. Because there's no room for Jesus in our relationship. You want me to be a friend? Well, I'm either going to be your friend, you get rid of Jesus, or don't claim me as a friend anymore. You're crazy. You want somebody telling you how you ought to live? You're crazy. You've got rules and regulations? No, they're not rules and they're not regulations. They're what I want to do because I love this one who died for me. It will cost you. It will cost you. But oh, the rewards. A church that's able to stand up and preach the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. To bring the gospel of freedom to those who are imprisoned. The gospel of sight to the blind. The gospel of release to those who are held captive. To bring the good news of healing and of restoration to those who've been bound up all their lives. The gospel that takes somebody's heart, presents it to Jesus, and lets Jesus do the work. And suddenly something happens. Something happens. What happened to you? Yeah, I don't know. But I think I'm a Jesus freak. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for you. But the Spirit has made them known to us. One day, the gates of glory are going to open. And it's going to be for you. I pray that we're part of that bunch, that we hear the trumpet and we hear the voice of the archangel. And we don't die, we're just changed. And we're caught up within the air. To meet the Lord in the air with all the saints that have gone on before. Whoa, Dad! Whoa, Mom! Hello, Dad! And so shall we always be with the Lord. Listen to Paul's last words. Comfort one another with these words. Why? Because I made a declaration. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. And I've paid the price as much as it is. I've not paid the price that some have paid. The people are paying right now in this world as I speak. They're paying the price. I've not done that yet. But I've paid a wee little price. God doesn't know. I mean, I don't know what God's got in store over the next 3 or 4 years. I don't know. But I know Jesus won't change. God won't change. He's still my Savior. He's still my shepherd. And He'll make me to lie down in green pastures. He'll lead me beside still waters. He will restore my soul. You need your soul restored this morning? Let Jesus do it. And when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Tell those people in Erbil, Iraq, they will fear no evil. Why? They know He is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. He will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup, it runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Saints, the reward is great. The reward is great. Eternity with God. Eternity with our Savior. Eternity with those who have gone on before us. No more tears as we look into this hole and we see our loved ones in that. Or that little box where our loved ones, we'll be with them forever and ever and ever. I don't know, Betty, do you think you can handle Jim forever and ever and ever? Give me a chance. Today is a day of independence. We celebrate what this nation has gone through to become the nation that it is. A great nation. The greatest nation on this earth. And I want you, if you will, to stand with me, please.